Greetings, friends. In our last couple of programs, we've been discussing the question, what happens to all of the dead people who died without having faith in Yeshua as their Messiah? Well, of course, most people in traditional Christian churches believe that these people, if they were good enough, they went to heaven. If they were bad people, they went to hell. Or some people just say, well, they didn't believe in Jesus, so they're just burning in hell. Well, what is the truth from the scriptures? The truth is that everybody has to inherit eternal life in the same manner. Everybody has to come into eternal life through Jesus the Christ, and that has to be by faith. And the faith that the Bible talks about is the faith that is demonstrated by works. In other words, if we believe God, then we obey God. People can say they have faith in Jesus, faith in God all they want. They turn around and they are living a life of sin. Well, they're just being hypocrites, because if a person truly believes in God, they believe as Jesus, they believe in Jesus as their Savior, they believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then they will be following the words of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And so the type of faith that the Scripture talks about is the faith that is demonstrated by works. So we want to make that real clear. Everybody will inherit eternal life in the same manner, and that manner is they have to come into eternal life through Jesus the Christ as their own personal Savior, and they have to do this by faith, and that faith is made possible through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which God has to give to a person. All right, so let's turn over to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read parts of verses 1 through 12. This is Acts chapter 4 and parts of verses 1 through 12. It says in verse 1, as the apostles spoke to the people, the priests and certain people of the temple and the Sadducees came to them, and they were aggravated because the disciples were preaching the resurrection from the dead through Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, does this man who was healed stand before you whole. Jesus the Christ is the stone which you as the builders have set aside. And I'm telling you, neither is there salvation in any other person, for there is no other person, no other name under heaven given among men whereby anybody can be saved. It is only through Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. It is only through Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Now, notice this extremely important point in John chapter 7. We're going to read in John chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39. Because we just now saw, right, in the book of Acts, that there's no way to be saved except by accepting Jesus the Christ as our Messiah. And we have to do that through faith. So that's the only way. And that is made possible, this faith that we had is made possible by God's gift of the Holy Spirit. As God begins to draw us out of the world and into a relationship with Him, He does it through His Holy Spirit. Now notice this extremely important point in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. In verse 37 it says, on the last great day of the feast, and this is talking about the last great day, this eighth day, which is after the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, and this overall has been our subject for about the last four programs or so. It says here that on the last day of the great feast, this last great day, Jesus stood and he cried out in a loud voice, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes, he who has faith, right? He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, not according to our own thoughts, but as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this is what he spoke about. He spoke about the Spirit. That's what he was talking about when he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is what he meant. He was talking about the Spirit, which they who believed on him should receive. Now notice that that's in a future tense. But he spoke this about the Holy Spirit, which they who believed on him should receive. I'm going to ask you a question. When was the Holy Spirit given? If you answered on the day of Pentecost, you are correct. This is what it says. But he spoke this about the Holy Spirit, which they who believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So at this point, when Jesus was speaking, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, and that is because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus was not glorified until after he was crucified. He was crucified on Passover. He was resurrected during the days of unleavened bread and then ascended to heaven. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. That was the sequence of events. So isn't that interesting? If the Holy Spirit had not yet been given en masse prior to Jesus' resurrection, and if having the Holy Spirit is required for having eternal life through Jesus the Christ, then what chance did the masses of people who died prior to Jesus' glorification have for their salvation? The answer is none. They had no chance at all. If the Holy Spirit had not yet been given en masse prior to Jesus' resurrection, and if having the Holy Spirit is required for having eternal life through Jesus the Christ, then what chance did the masses of people who died prior to Jesus' glorification, prior to his ascension into heaven, what chance did they have for salvation if they didn't have the Holy Spirit? And they certainly didn't have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given en masse. Now keep in mind that God did give his Holy Spirit to a very few people. Some of those people are mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And then of course there are others mentioned throughout the other New Testament books in the Bible. But very few people were given the Holy Spirit prior to Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. All right, very few people were given the Holy Spirit prior to the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven and the apostles started to speak in tongues and they did miracles and they preached the gospel. Prior to that time, only a very, very few people were given the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says here, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, meaning it was not yet given in mass to the people of the world. So if that's the case, and if people need the Holy Spirit in order to live a faithful life in Jesus Christ and to accept him as their Messiah and as their Savior, if you need the Holy Spirit for that and it wasn't given, then how can people have salvation? What was their chance? Well, the answer is they didn't have a chance. And that's the whole point, my friends. That is the whole point. God has not been and is not now trying to give salvation to everyone in the world. God works in stages. God's seven annual holy days reveals the chronology of God's seven-stage plan of salvation for everyone in the world. Make no mistake about it, God does intend to offer salvation to everyone who has ever lived, but he's doing it according to his seven-step master plan. But some will argue, well, as long as a person is good, God will do good by giving them salvation. But God says, on the other hand, if you want to argue with him, I have before charged both Jews and Gentiles, everybody, with being under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. And that was in Romans chapter 3 and verses 9 through 12. If you want to make your foolish arguments of God, here's another retort from God. We have all become as one who is unclean, and this is Isaiah speaking. We have all become as one who is unclean, and all our righteousness is as a filthy rag. And we all fade away like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is none who calls on your name, who stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you, O God, have hid your face from us. You, O God, have hid your face from us, and you have consumed us by means of our iniquities. That's in Isaiah chapter 64 and verses 6 through 7. And I don't know if you caught that, though I said it three times. And so here's the fourth time. For you, O God, have hid your face from us. God is the one who has put the blinders on most people's eyes. Or you can say, God is the one who has chosen so far not to remove the blinders from most people's eyes. God has actually hidden his face from us. And he has done that from the time that he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and placed cherubim by the gates to prevent them from re-entering and receiving the Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the Tree of Life. And, of course, we have to ask the question, well, why did God do this? Why did God hide his face from us? Why did he kick Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and prevent them from coming back to take of the Tree of Life, which is the Holy Spirit? Why did God do that? Well, that's an excellent question, and I'm going to answer it. God kicked mankind out of the Garden of Eden and hid his face from us so that humanity could try every conceivable method of obtaining eternal life in eternal paradise, because that's what God was offering if Adam and Eve would have believed God and therefore obeyed God. Because they disbelieved God, they disobeyed God. So God said, okay, well, you go out and you try every conceivable method possible to obtain eternal life in eternal paradise. And you're going to see how futile it is, all right? And let's ask another question. Is God right? Well, of course he's right. Look at the result of all of our human efforts. All of our human efforts have resulted in despair, disease, destruction, and death. We are doomed to failure because of our sinful nature. Once we learn that lesson, then we'll be humble enough to receive God's mercy and grace. So I'll conclude by quoting Romans chapter 11, verses 32 through 33, where it says, God has shut up all in unbelief. God has shut up all in unbelief. Why? So that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Well, friends, we are going to find out a little bit more about God's ways in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.